Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. I have my Bible open once again to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we will continue our study of this intriguing Old Testament book, puzzling to many, often overlooked, difficult sometimes to decipher exactly what it is that God is saying to us through the pen of Solomon, but nevertheless well worth our time if we will settle down and take our time and study it carefully and understand what it is that the author, Solomon, of this book is trying to communicate to us, and therefore what the Spirit of God is doing with this book and why he has included it among the 66 books of the Bible. And so we are coming back to chapter 2. Now, if you're a regular listener to the Beacon Broadcast, you know that what Solomon is doing in Ecclesiastes is examining a whole variety of areas of life, of things that people pursue in order to make their life more fulfilling. And he's examining them one by one and giving us his opinion, his evaluation, his conclusion as to just exactly how helpful those things may be. What he's trying to do is to help people to avoid wasting time going down dead-end streets that aren't going anywhere, that aren't going to produce what they think it's going to produce, that is going to be following an empty promise that will not deliver what is being offered. And there are so many avenues like that that people pursue, trying to make their life more happy, more fulfilling, more exciting, and so many times, I'd say in the majority of times and most cases, it does not produce what people think it's going to. And so let's listen to Solomon. Let's listen to the Spirit of God. Let's listen to this portion of God's Word and save ourselves a lot of grief and wasted time. And life is precious. Life is short. We don't want to be wasting our time going down dead-end streets. So thank you for joining me on this Friday, July 10. Thank you for helping us with the costs of broadcasting this Bible teaching ministry on this station. I get back into chapter 2 by reading the first three verses. I said in my heart, "Come now, I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, but surely this also was vanity." I said of laughter, "Madness," and of mirth, "What does it accomplish?" I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. We'll stop there, though we'll be moving on in just a moment. But you'll remember from a previous broadcast that the first section of chapter 2 is an investigation of the value of pleasure and wealth. I've kind of lumped those two ideas together, and you'll see why as we move through the list. Pleasure and wealth, or pleasure and material possessions of various kinds. And Solomon investigates many of these and tells us his conclusion regarding them. And that's in verses 1 through 11. And then in verses 12 through 17, he investigates the value of wisdom. And in verses 18 through 23, the value of labor. And then gives us his conclusion on all of these things in verses 24 through 26. We are still in the first section, and we've been moving rather slowly up till now, and maybe we can move a little more quickly today. But so far, what have we seen? We've seen that Solomon has investigated various areas of pleasure, particularly entertainment, comedy, the things that make us laugh, plus wine. We put that into that category because wine generally is associated with entertainment and with laughter. It's supposed to make us more lighthearted, if not lightheaded, at least more lighthearted, and it falls into the same category. And Solomon examined all of these things, and they come up wanting. What does it accomplish? He said. This also was vanity. And remember, vanity can mean empty or it can mean fleeting. But in either case, there's not a lot of value to it. So Solomon puts that investigation aside, having completed it, and moves on to something else. What next? Houses, verse 4. I made my works great. I built myself houses. I made my works great, kind of a general term for his expansive projects of various kinds, building projects, and he specifically mentions houses. So he's investigating that as a way to bring fulfillment, pleasure, happiness in life. Now, he doesn't say a lot about that particular category. In fact, most of these he just mentions in passing, and then he gives a summary that applies to all of them rather than taking each of them one by one. But what about it? There's an awful lot of people in America today who think that if they could just get a bigger house, a better house, a more luxurious house, that would do it. That would make their life fulfilled. That would make them happy. That would add the meaning and value to their life that now is missing. Well, I am of an age where I have been through that. And I will say, and I certainly am not a premier example in this area, but I will say that in coming to North Carolina, I have lived in three houses, and I've been here going, it's not much short of 50 years now that I've been living in North Carolina. Our first home was a rental home, and we stayed in that for a while until we could get together enough money for about down payment to buy our first home, and then eventually we bought the second home, and it's the home we're still in now. Now, in our case, there was a very practical reason for moving up to a larger house, namely a larger family. Our family was growing. The first house we were in, a rental house, I don't remember the exact figure now, but I think it only had something like 700 or 800 square feet, which was fine when we moved in, just my wife and I. It was more than adequate. It was very, very accommodating, and we were fine with it. But then the first child was born, and we had no place to put her. We literally made her bedroom, if you can call it a bedroom, out of a little corner of a hallway. Put her crib there, and that was it. It worked. It certainly wasn't ideal, but here we had child number one that had no bedroom, and then child number two came along, and we were out of options, fortunately, by that time. And again, I understand when I'm saying these things. I'm just explaining to you what our experience was, but I understand that there are a lot of people in this world and other parts of the world that would have considered our, let's say, 800 square foot little house. It was a lovely little house. Would have considered that to be the height of luxury, would consider that to be a mansion. They would love to be in something like that. I know all of these things are relative. But it certainly was cramped by American standards, and fortunately the Lord enabled us to find a home that had approximately 1,600 square feet. This was a big step up, and I won't go into all the description of it, but it was lovely. We were able to purchase it, in the American way of purchasing it, making mortgage payments on it until we eventually did own it. Before we sold it, we paid it off entirely, and that was fine until... Then we had child number three and child number four, and this house accommodated all of them very nicely until they began to get larger. And suddenly we found ourselves outgrowing this house, and I won't go into all the details, but if I would take the time to describe it, I think you would agree with me that it really had become a very, not an impossible, but a very cramped situation as our girls began to get into their teenage years and they were involved in more activities. And one of the big things was all four of our girls were taking piano lessons, had to practice the piano. So by the time four of them were doing their practice every day, that's a lot of hours on the piano. And the piano was in the living room, and we had a living room. We had no den, no other place that you could go to. And really, it began to be like we were... Just normal activities were intruding into the other things that people were trying to do, study and you know, homework and so forth and so on, and it just really was getting to be a bit of a problem. Though we were happy, we would have been content to stay there, even considered doing that, maybe adding on if we could figure out a way to do it. But in God's goodness, He led us into a larger home, quite a bit larger. And that one was more than adequate. And it's the one we're still in now. And it's way larger than my wife and I need, because now we're back to just the two of us again. We six of us moved in, and we filled it up. It was large, but we filled it up. And in one case, we had, I'm trying to figure it all out, we had four bedrooms. So my wife and I had one. There were three bedrooms for the four girls, so we had one bedroom with two daughters in it, and each of the other daughters were able to have their own bedroom. But then one by one, the girls went off to college and eventually got married and left home, and little by little, we're back to just the two of us in a big house. It's a big house, much bigger than we need. And every now and then, we'll be sitting there. I'm just trying to describe this idea of houses bringing fulfillment. We'll be sitting there, maybe reading the newspaper together. We normally eat breakfast and read the newspaper while we eat breakfast and talk about it. And we're looking maybe at something, the house of the week in the realtor section or something. We'd say, "Boy, that would be a lovely house." And I looked at that thing, you know, look at it, and I say, "Well, that's bigger than the one we've got now. What would we do with that? I don't, if I had the money to buy it, I don't want it. I don't want a bigger house. I want a smaller house." We're talking about downsizing. Now, what is the point of all this? The point is that the larger home that a lot of people think is going to be the thing that's going to bring fulfillment, happiness, and value to their lives, it really isn't. I promise you, it really doesn't do that. When you need it from a practical standpoint, it has a purpose. But when you think it's going to bring fulfillment and satisfaction to life, to make a life that otherwise is lacking more, it's going to make it worthwhile, I'm sorry, but it won't work. Well, until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.